Today we're going to be talking about the topic of Christ's example, and following that, we're going to look at a purpose statement and how sometimes it seems so unwieldy and big, and how would I ever play any kind of role in that? And I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to be able to speak today. It's been something that I've been looking forward to for months, and it's a topic that I didn't know if I'd ever get to teach on from the pulpit, but I am excited about being able to do that today. So if you would, join me in prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Lord, right now, Lord, I pray that that I would decrease and you would increase in my life. And Lord, I pray that the words that are heard this morning are yours. Lord, let me just be a mouthpiece. And Lord, I pray for all those who came this morning. Lord, I pray that their ears would be able to hear. Lord, that you give them eyes that they might see. Lord, I pray that you would soften hearts, but yet give us courage and boldness. In your name, amen. I wanted to start out, I prepared a PowerPoint presentation to kind of keep myself a little bit more accountable to what's going on. So I'll give them some time to get that set up. Collect my thoughts here. I titled today's message, The Sound of Silence. Some of you may be thinking Simon and Garfunkel. I'm not sure how all that works together. And you probably won't understand why we gave it that title, The Sound of Silence. But towards the end of the message, it'll start to kind of come together for you. And we're going to look at our purpose statement. So if we would go ahead and move forward in those slides, the sermon that I had in a sentence, if I was going to boil it down, is simply this: the way that I choose to live my life does make an impact. And I want to put that up on the screen if we could. It'll give you the title, The Sound of Silence. Flip through two more to the next screen, and I want you to say this back with me. The way I choose to live my life does have an impact on others. Let's say that one more time. The way I choose to live my life does have an impact on others. I think a lot of times we get caught up in, well, I'm kind of insignificant in the whole scheme of what's happening. And I want to encourage you today that this is very simple in terms of an approach. And I want to look at our purpose statement. I want to say, guys, look, don't think of it as some big monster that has no handles to be able to grab onto. This very small cup to handle. It's a very easy thing to take on. There are some sacrifices that do need to be made. But I want to be about encouragement today for you guys and kind of just help you to define a little bit better how easy it is to do our purpose statement. So let's move on to that. If you've been here for any length of time, I'm sure you've heard from the pulpit or from conversations the purpose statement. And the purpose statement is this: to change lives by meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. As a church, that's what we're about. We're about changing lives by meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And I get the sense from some people in conversations that I have that it just seems so maybe blurry. Or it's, well, how do I fit into that picture? And that's kind of what we want to address today. That's what we want to talk about today, is how does all this kind of shape up? So let's go back again, because I want you to kind of catch this concept. The way you choose, moving on to the next slide, the way you choose to live your life does make an impact on others. It does have an impact. And there's one other thing that I looked at. As I looked at that purpose statement that we have, there's a responsibility that we have that's very crucial. And if we miss it, we have a really hard time becoming what the church should become. And that is that our world cannot afford to miss the example of Christ. Our world cannot afford to miss the example of Christ. And that's that next slide that's on there. Our world cannot afford to miss the example of Christ. If you'd open up with me, I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard today, but I want to look at a couple of observations. Observations from Scripture that look at this principle that the way I choose to live my life does make an impact on others. And the first one is Mark chapter 1. And if you'll skim down to verse 16 and 17, we find a very interesting thing. Go ahead, you can move through, yes. You can just race me through my message if you want, Brandon. Just like, no, just kidding. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16, it says, "And he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" And as I have continued to look at that passage, just one in youth ministry that you'll hear at almost any conference you'll ever go to, follow me, very easy principle, just follow. Whatever you do, just follow. You know, if you're pulling something behind you, it goes where you go because it's following you. It's a simple principle. But I noticed something about it this time that I went back through and read it. Those who follow, what happens? Jesus said there was going to be a change. If you follow, you're no longer going to be fishing for fish. You're going to be fishing for men. And I started to think about that. I was like, why is that? Why would they change? Why would he tell them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men? Why does that happen? I think we get a snapshot of that when we flip over to Luke 6. Luke 6, 39 and 40. I'll give you a second to flip over to there. But Luke chapter 6, starting up in verse 39. Jesus is speaking to the crowd. And it says, "And he spoke to them in another parable. He said, 'A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit?' And he goes on and he says, 'A pupil is not above his teacher. But everyone, after he has been faithfully or fully trained, will be like his teacher.'" And I started to understand it a little bit better. Not when you follow, you're changed. Why are you changed? Because you become like the person that you're following. If you're following a blind person, as the parable says, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to end up in a pit somewhere. Regardless, you're going to end up wherever that blind man is, right? Because that's where he's going. And that ultimately, those who follow what? They're going to do what we do. So if you know you have a responsibility in terms of somebody else's life, somebody that has chosen to follow you, you're going to become, or they are going to become, who you are. I want to look on, because it gets a little more, I want to kind of fine-tune it a little bit and look at specifically, that we're just looking at people who are following. Let's look specifically at people who are following the example of Christ, because that's what I want to get to today. And that's over in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Just a couple pages over. Many people at that point had kind of gotten into the hip thing to follow Christ. He was performing miracles, doing pretty astonishing things. And Christ knew this principle. He knew what we were talking about today, that the way I choose to live my life does make an impact on others. He knew that was to be true. And so he turned to these people who had chosen to follow him. And what does he say? We pick up in verse 23. "And he was saying to them all, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" And he was turning to those people and saying, you know what? The way I've chosen to live my life is going to make an impact on you. And here are going to be some of the things down the road, as you continue to follow, that are going to have to happen. You're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to take up your cross in order to continue to follow. And I think the principle that we find there, the observation that I took up, was that those who follow Christ are going to have to sacrifice. Those who follow have to sacrifice. And then I want to look at the final observation that I made. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It's one of my life verses. I love it with a passion because it's so simple. In the New American Standard, it says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. And the observation that I made there is that those who follow us are actually following Christ if we're doing it right. So we've, out of Mark chapter 1, we've discovered that those who follow will be changed. Jesus said your occupation is going to change. You're not going to be a fisher of fish, you'll be a fisher of men. We also looked at why that happens. Because you become like your teacher when you're fully trained. And then we looked at what Jesus said to those people who wanted to follow him. Guys, it's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be a sacrifice involved. And finally, for us today, as we're here right now, Paul says, let's continue the principle. But let's keep our focus where it should be. As people are following us, what's really happening is they're following Christ because that's who we should be following. So let's bring that next slide up and just reaffirm again. The way you choose to live your life does have an impact on others. It will. I want to kind of look at maybe some of the ways that we do have influence. Dan has used the word before, oikos, your circle of influence. For a couple weeks, we kind of chuckled at the word oikos. What's oikos? But it was funny. I know, I'm like, that's not a youth word. They would never use the word oikos. But they say it. They use it. Hey, this is part of my oikos. It's part of my little circle of influence. And I'm starting to like the word. And I think we can take this concept. I want to look at our purpose statement by meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And let's look at our oikos. How many people do we actually influence if we're going to say the way I choose to live my life does make an impact on others? So you can flip to the next slide. I don't know if that was a tee up enough for you. The first person that I was thinking about, and there are many, but I'm only going to point out four today, is your family. Is your family not someone that's in your circle of influence? Very easily. I mean, you can't get away from it. You're angry, you're mad, you're sad, you're sick. They're there. They never change. Next kind of group of people that I thought pretty much be in there all the time would be your friends. Wouldn't that be true? Your friends are some of the people that you influence. Some of the people that are in your circle of influence. There's two others, though, that maybe didn't come as readily to you, but look around. Take a second. Look at the people that are in the pews beside you. Go ahead. You can turn your head. I'll give you a license to turn your heads to the people that are around you. This is the body of Christ. This is part of the body of Christ. And these people that are sitting beside you are people that you have influence on. Do you think that people don't talk about, hey, have you, I'm concerned for this person? Or, man, have you noticed? I am impressed. I'm encouraged. People take notice. You have, I mean, so look around. How many people are in this room? That's a large number of people that you're influencing. So you've got your family. How many people are in your family? Start adding them up. How many friends do you have? How many people are in this room? There's one other category, though, that we try and like to shy away from. Those would be your enemies. How many enemies do you have? You have an influence on your enemies, don't you? Yeah. Are you going to swing back? I mean, that's if you're in high school. You know, fights are like a big thing. Everybody's in the cafeteria banging on tables. Woo-hoo-hoo! But seriously, though, you move into the adult world and you don't no longer get into knockdown, drag-out fights, but now they last for like 3 years and you never talk to them anymore. Oh, I can't believe they did that to me. I'll never talk to them again. Made up my mind. You have an influence on those people as well. And that's not to mention coworkers. That's a whole other sphere. People that you meet at the gas station. We talked about expanding your oikos or your circle of influence, your neighbors. You're starting to realize the amount of impact that you could have, because the way you choose to live your life does make an impact on others. I wanted to give a couple illustrations. You can blank out the screen if you want. I think the next slide is a blank slide. Yeah, there we go. I wanted to share an example. In our own family, we had some scrap wood that was left over from tearing out part of our kitchen. So we had all these 2x4s that were out in my garage. And I like to just do something to relax, and working with wood is one of those. So I borrowed a lot of Dan's tools for quite a while. In fact, maybe some of you heard the story. I used to have a saw, but I'm not sure where that's at anymore. Oh, it must be at JC's. And I had that for quite some time. And I made a coffee table, made a couple benches. And I would do this on Mondays on my day off. And Pierce would be out there in the garage with me. Vance came over a couple times, made a trash can with me. And it is a sturdy trash can. You guys can come. You can sit on it. It's good. Me and Pierce are out there, or Vance, or whoever, and we're drilling away, and we're cutting, and we're making things. And Pierce just loves to be in the garage. Doesn't matter. Anytime you come over to our house, if you even mention the word garage, he runs over to the door. He points out, gosh, gosh, gosh. And he wants to go outside. He's pulling on the doorknob. And we're out there. And Margie's telling me all these stories while I'm at work through the week. He's at home, or she'll call me up on the phone. Can you hear him? And he's back there with his little finger in holes all over any place he can find. He's sanding stuff, and he's got a measuring tape, and he's going, making sure everything works. Where did he learn that? Did he go to school? No. He's following my example. I'm having influence on him. And I didn't even choose to. I didn't sit down and say, Pierce, now you're following me, okay? I'm fulfilling my purpose statement for you. I'm going to meet you where you're at. You ready? Okay, here I come. No. Come on, we're going to move to become a fully devoted follower. Here we go. No, it didn't happen like that. He follows me out to the garage. I don't know why he wants to follow. I don't know why he's chosen to follow. God's just put that. He's, by his grace, he's given me that opportunity. And by God's grace, he's given you opportunities too. In your family, in this body of Christ, in your friends, and in your enemies. To say, am I going to make a choice? Am I going to make the right choice? In how I influence and how I impact these people. So let's go through that one more time. Let's go to that next slide. And just repeat this again. The way you choose to live your life does make an impact on others. It does. It does have an impact. I wanted to show you just some observations from culture, because this is not a very readily accepted responsibility by most of the people in our world. That would be the next screen. How many of you remember Charles Barkley at the Phoenix Suns? Played for the team. Became a fairly heated player. He's passionate. He loves the game. And Phoenix Suns were not that great of a team at the time. And Barkley's frustrated because he wants to be on a good team. In fact, he wants to be on the team that would win. Ultimately, that would win the NBA championships. And so he's visibly getting frustrated game after game after game, to the point where he starts doing things that are probably out of line. In fact, all the reporters were saying they were out of line and doing interviews with him. And at one point, finally Barkley says what? I'm not a role model. Because the interviewer asked him, what about all the people that are watching you on TV? You're a role model to them. And he kind of went on to say, well, I'm not their primary role model. It was what he tried to go on and kind of fulfill. You know, their parents are their real role models. They've got teachers. They've got other people in their life that are more specifically role models for them. I'm not responsible for all the people that watch me on TV. Or is he? Yeah, I think it's kind of funny, as I've grown up, I've seen people in court cases. It becomes more and more the case, actually. People say, I was insane at the time. And they bring in psychiatrists. Yeah, he was not in the right frame of mind. And so it's not his responsibility. He shouldn't be responsible for the actions that he had there. There's even a lot of cases, and this may be a hard topic. Sometimes it's not your fault. But a lot of times in divorce, what do we say? I want to avoid the responsibility. It's getting a little tough. I also want to be considerate, though, because I know there are times when people can't avoid the situation. And there are times when they need to be separated because of what's been going on in the family. But at the same time, I want you to know the way you choose to live your life does make an impact on others. Talk to any family that's gone through a separation. That has had a huge impact on their lives. And it's a choice that's made. And I guess I would just encourage you to think about this message today. Who are the people in your circle of influence? Who are the people that are being impacted by the choices you make? And that, I guess, brings up the title, The Sounds of Silence. If you read, William Bennett put out a book, The Index of Leading Cultural Indicators. William Bennett was the writer of Book of Virtues. I don't know if you've ever picked up that book. It's got nice little cute stories that you read to your children. Out of wedlock births, starts in 1960, 5% of all babies that were born were out of wedlock in 1960. 1997, almost 35%. Those are choices. Babies just don't happen. Choices that people make. Single-parent families in 1960 was under 10% in our nation were single-parent families. It's grown in 1998, and the survey says it's over 30% now. It's increased by 13% in just the last 8 years. These are all sounds of silence. Being silent in our example of Christ. Being silent in this principle that the way I choose to live my life does have an impact on others, and just kind of hushing that up. You know, let's not listen to that. I can avoid responsibility for other people in my life. Teenage drug and alcohol abuse continues to rise. I wanted to kind of look just real quick. I've got two other things I want to share, but there's a process that happens. There are some steps that happen. You don't one day just eliminate your silence. I mean, you don't just become silent all of a sudden. You don't just stop your example of Christ. There's three things that happen. The first one is you become silent in your attitudes. How many people have been involved in an activity that you grumble about? I tell you what, if I got to do this one more week... Why is it every morning I got to get my kids out of bed? When are they going to start to learn to wake up on their own? Do I got to get 10% every time? I mean, we go through all these things and attitudes start to creep in. And you can kind of let them just be in there. And so then all of a sudden you become silent in knowing what the example of Christ is and what it should be, a heart of servitude. You got to read Philippians chapter 2 sometime. It talks about the attitude of Christ. What should it be? To the point where he laid down his life. He was a servant of all. What happens next? You become silent in actions. How long? You grumble about it long enough, and then what happens? You just don't do it. I know when I was a junior, maybe it was my senior year, my parents finally said, Jace, you now have to wake yourself up for church. You remember this? It was no longer their responsibility for me to come to church, and they would not wake me up. They would not tell me they had left. Church is halfway through, and I am still sleeping in my bed, knowing that I wake up and I'm like, I don't hear anybody. I look over at the clock. It's like 10:15. I'm like, I'm a dead man. Mom and Dad are going to get home, and I'm in such big trouble. Oh, man. You know, and so I'm running, hopping in. You know, arrive at youth group. I'm like, well, here. I've been here the whole time. Mom and Dad sitting over in the corner going, it was a choice. And they realized I needed to start making some of my own choices. It was going to be your responsibility. And it was very obvious to them that my attitude was what? I didn't really want to be at church. And they were forcing me, by giving me responsibility of an action, to highlight that attitude. I didn't realize that at the time. But that's what was happening. Well, what happens after you become silent in your actions? You say, you know what, I was in college. I don't even want to go to church anymore. I don't have to. Mom and Dad aren't here. They're not going to call. If they do, I just don't answer the phone. Then I say, yeah, hey, service was great. I became silent in my actions. Still deep down inside my heart, though, I knew what I was supposed to be doing. And that's that final one, to be silent in ambitions, your desires. I know what I should be. You go to conference, I see this all the time, camp, or whatever it may be. What's the first thing that people get excited about? Their desires. I want to stand up for Jesus. Or they say, okay, I'm going to count to three, and I want everybody down here in the front, if you're wanting to get serious about your relationship with God. And what happens? Everybody's there. Why? Because it's an ambition. And it's easy to break the silence in ambitions, right? It's pretty easy. It's a small change in your mind. This is what I want to do. I've had an ambition to exercise. For 6 years now. Sometimes it's been silent. Sometimes, you know, but, you know, things that happen. You know, you get in the mirror and you're like, shirt on. I should go running. Honey, I think I'm going to buy a bike. Honey, I think I'm going to start jogging on Mondays. Why? Because all of a sudden we've had a change in mind and in our heart. We've got a change in the desire. How many times does a desire lead to action? Maybe for you it's different. For me, though, it takes some bold steps to actually start taking some action. One of the things I liked about conference this year is they put a cover-to-cover book in people's hands and said, okay, you got an ambition? Let's see some action. Next year when you come back, we want you to have finished this book. I talked to the young people. How many have you found that you've started to become silent a little bit in your actions? Ooh, I missed a day. Ooh, I missed a week. But the ambition's still there. I got to catch up. You know what? If I just read 3 days today, for the next 7 weeks, I'll be back on schedule. Okay, I can do that. I'm all right. I'm still in. I'm okay. It'll be good. I'm tracking. Still on track. I can do this. It's true, though, isn't it? The ambition's still there. The action is starting to slip. And how many of us who have cover to cover say, you know what? It doesn't matter if I had cover to cover or not. It's my attitude. I love just spending time with God. I wake up at 6 o'clock because I have 2 hours before I have to be anywhere just because I want to spend some time in prayer. How often does that happen? That attitude is a hard thing to reach. And it's an easy thing to be silent in. It's pretty easy to say, walking out the door and you see the cover to cover book. Okay, I got 5 minutes. Whew. Read through it. Those things aren't easy. I want to give you a couple handles, though, just to wrap up. How do you step up to the microphone? How do you break the silence? I got three things. The first one, Dan's talked about a lot. It's worship as a lifestyle. What does that mean? What is worship as a lifestyle? That means moment by moment, you're making decisions. I had made a commitment to Todd Pace and to Bill Hicks this morning that I was going to meet them at the Cracker Barrel at 6:30. They chuckle. We bought a new alarm just this past week. It's nice and loud. Everything's good to go. I go to sleep. I'm like, everything's working out perfectly. Everything's on schedule. Yes, thank you, Lord. All of a sudden, my little watch, it goes off at 6 o'clock, and I wanted to wake up at 5:30. It's really tiny, so I hardly ever wake up to it. But I was like, I heard my watch, and I'm supposed to be up. And Margie hears it, actually, I think, right before I did. And she's like, Jace, wake up. You're going to be late. And I get up, and what was my decision at that moment? It's still under control? God's in control? No. I grab my pillow, and I throw it against the wall. I'm like, oh, man, I'm late all the time. Dang it. I got to break this habit. And I'm into the mirror, and still visibly frustrated. I'm sitting in the mirror, and I'm like, when are you going to stop doing this, kid? And I'm looking at myself. I'm talking. You know, it was a really weird, you know, moment. And then finally I say, you know what? I have a choice here. I'm choosing to be angry right now. Am I going to let what is happening right now ruin God's opportunity to work through me today? It's a moment-by-moment thing. How many times have you stopped yourself in the middle of your anger and done an evaluation? It is a principle that you need to start applying. Just take time outs every once in a while. What's going on? Where's my focus? Who's getting the glory here? The next one, not only do we want to begin a lifestyle of worship, but we also want to learn the lifestyle of Christ. It's a very simple thing. You wear a JJ or a WWJD bracelet, and you just ask yourself, in the middle of crisis, what would Jesus do? And it's written on there. Well, he would go, you know, oh, okay, yeah, good. Okay, now I know what he... No. You can wear a bracelet all you want. Does that tell you what Christ's example would be right there? No. It's a good reminder, but you can't do what you don't know. You need to learn the lifestyle of Christ. You can't imitate what you don't know. Like 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That can't happen if you don't know what his example would be. And the final one, not only do we want to worship as a lifestyle, not only do we want to learn Christ's lifestyle, but we want to do what I call corporate lifestyle. You need to be together with a group of like-minded believers that say, you know what? I want to do this. I have a hard time now getting into a bad cycle with reading the cover to cover because I know I have to meet with Todd Pace every Wednesday morning. And I know we have to sit across from each other and go, I should be reading more. I didn't read it all this week. And we go through a list of accountability questions. And you know what? Over the course of the weeks, that's changed the way I live my week. I'm going to have to talk to Todd about this on Wednesday. Do I really want to do it? Do I really want to make that choice? It's about being involved in adult Bible fellowship or in a class on Sunday morning, Sunday school class, to learn the example of Christ. It's about being in a growth group, to have a small, close-knit family that's going to pray for you, that's going to encourage you, sometimes it's going to challenge you. You need those things. Don't be an island. I hear so many people say, you know, I watch the TV preacher, and I have a, you know, I'm growing. And I have a really hard time with that. And the only reason I do is because it's so easy for you to just pocket that little part of your life and have nobody know about it. If you're going to live for Christ, then live for Christ. Don't be an island. Surround yourself with other people who have the same desire as you. It's the basis. I guess that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. And I just wanted to encourage you guys. The way that you choose to live your life does have an impact on others. your attitude, your actions, your ambitions dramatically impact other people. We kind of set up the service today so that we could have some time in worship at the end, because I think it's good, even though it's easy to start up with ambitions, that is the place to start. And I want you guys to take some time to search right now. And think about, where am I at? Go back to that circle of influence that you had. You can turn the screen off now if you want. Go back to that circle of influence that you have. Who in your family suffers because of the choices that you have made? Who of your friends suffer? I think about some of the things that Pierce is picking up from me that I don't want to see happen. You know, and there I am sitting there picking my nose, and I'm like, he's going to learn that. That's not good. This is not good at all. We should not do this. But what about the more serious things? What about the times when me and Margie let our frustration boil out into anger and then have a bad conversation instead of being able to sit down and talk through it and work things out? He watches those things. I watched my parents do those things. And what was the first thing I did when Mom and Dad were yelling in the kitchen? I'd go run and grab Joy and we'd go hug each other. The way you choose to live your life does make an impact on people. And if you think that a purpose statement is so hard and unwieldy, I don't know how to ever do anything about that. Think about the people that you influence. Think about the choices that you make that have an impact on their lives. And realize this, that if you're going to be a part of this church, be a part of this fellowship, but you need to start meeting people where they are. You need to start moving them towards becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. And that means you need to make some choices about the impact that you're having on other people. And that means that Christ's life needs to be shining in your life. They need to see Christ in you, because the world cannot afford to miss the example of Christ.